Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks. Molly and Kim.
Hey, happy Wednesday, everybody. This is the AmeriChicks. I'm Molly Vogt.
And I'm Kim Munson.
And we hope you're having a really great week this week. It's going kind of fast.
Really fast.
That's good. The 4th will be here sooner than we know it.
Yes, it will.
Time to get out there and celebrate our independence.
Independence Day.
Yes. And by the way, if you're around on Independence Day, come on down between 10 to 12, and Kim and I will be at the Capitol for a little rally.
Yes, we'd love to have you come out and say hello.
So come on out and say hi to us. So it is Wednesday, and today it is actually Empowering the Economy Wednesday.
This
is Denver's.
Love those.
Yes, I do too. It's Denver's Money Talk Radio, KDMT, and you can listen to us on 1690 AM every Monday to Friday, 5 to 6 PM, or download the app, the KDMT app on your cell phone, and you can listen anytime, anywhere.
Right, and all these shows are on our website. Everything's archived there.
Yep.
So you can go back and listen to everything there, too.
Yeah. So, you know, we like to look at government policies and how they affect us personally. And one thing I really care about, Kim, is how it affects my wallet.
That's the first place they go after, Molly.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And then what do they do when there's no money left?
I hope we don't find out, but we're headed that way.
Well, so some interesting things are happening right now. In the second and third segment, we're going to be talking with Jay Davidson. He is the founder and CEO of First America State Bank. It's a local community bank, and really going to talk about what's going on with the regulations. And we've got a couple of stress tests that have been done recently here by the federal government, the Federal Reserve on banks. And so it may possibly be time to get the Trump administration to start rolling back those regulations on the banks. And we're going to talk to him about what those tests look like, why is that important, and how is that going to be helpful for people who want to buy things, who want to borrow money, and also for lenders.
I think it's great. And yes, President Trump is trying to start to roll back the Dodd-Frank regulations. And so it'll be great to have Jay in studio here, because it's always fun when Jay is in studio and he's always got something really smart to say.
Well, he's such a smart guy. And, you know, you hear what people tell you on the media and what the politicians say. We've got to put more and more government solutions in there, and you buy into their scare tactics. But the problem is, usually it's a double-edged sword. When the government comes in with their solution, they don't look long-term, and the people they're trying to help, they actually end up hurting. So we'll go through some examples, and I'm ready to start with one right now.
Okay, Molly, what is it?
All right. Minimum wage.
Aha.
You remember the fight, increase minimum wage, everybody's going to make a certain dollar amount. And Seattle did sign that they were going to require their minimum wage to go up to $15 per hour for everybody, mm-hmm. right? So unfortunately, those roosters have already come home
to roost.
And so it looks like this new study, which is published by the University of Washington, and economists are showing that now, while the minimum wage has ticked up and it's gone from 11 to 13, it's on its way to $15 in 2021, but already their lower income workers have ended up bringing home $125 less each month.
That really hurts. You know, people that are just starting out, young people, or people that are just entering the workforce, this really, really hurts them.
It sure does. It does. Because you've got to think about it. Where is the money going to come from? You're going to tell somebody who has a very small profit margin, an employer, that you're going to have to pay your employees more money. They're going to have to get that money somewhere. They're either going to get it by raising their prices and hopefully getting more sales. But how can they do that? I mean, there's a McDonald's on every corner, right? How are they going to compete for more? They're doing their best there. Or you're going to have to lay off certain employees so that you can pay certain ones, or you cut back their hours. And that means that the poorest of the poor, the people that really need that work the most because they don't have the skills to go somewhere else, those are the ones that are going to be laid off, Kim, the ones that the government say they want to help. So it looks like they boosted their pay in Seattle with that minimum wage increase by 3%, but it resulted in a 9% reduction in hours, 125 monthly.
Well, and so then what happens? These types of jobs are the types of jobs that people start to get their experience. They learn how to work with the public. They know how to count change, you know, just all these basic skills. So now they're no longer going to be working. So now what we have is all the politicians and bureaucrats, cats is actually, bureaucrats, they're wringing their hands saying, oh my gosh, these people have no work skills. We need to come up with a government program for workforce development.
Yeah, you're totally right. And you're connecting the dots because that's happening all over the place right now, Kim.
And we have businesses that gladly, at a certain price, will hire people. You and I have talked many times about our first jobs. We actually got paid, but we probably should have paid them.
Yeah.
But it gave us the tools to be able to start to move up the ladder on the employment sector. And it's just really troubling that government makes a problem, then they create a program to fix the problem, and then they have to create another program to fix another problem. It's very disturbing.
Well, it's a snowball effect. I think it's for them to keep themselves in business, and they do that. But, you know, where is the money going to come from eventually? Because then they said they're going to take care of all the poor. And you can't take care of all the poor if nobody's working to contribute to the bucket.
We're going to have more poor.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm looking at this article. One of our friends with the Independence Women's Forum, Jillian, wrote this article, and she's talking about New York. She said, you know, New York is set to raise their minimum wage by $15 by next year, 2018. And already they've had many businesses making tough cuts to compensate for that expense. Schnippers labor cost increases. The Schnippers is a New York burger chain. That's not easy to say. Okay. Their labor cost has already increased, and they've already reduced their workforce by 10%. Mm-hmm. So there you go. So just keep in mind, when the government's forcing you to pay more, if they're going to pay everybody $15, if you're only worth $14, that means no job for you. So the other thing that's going on, Kim, is this guaranteed paycheck that people are talking about. It's Mark Zuckerberg with Facebook is talking about this right now. I'm really pushing for that. Universal basic income for everybody. Now, how in the world is the government going to offer guaranteed income for everybody? And one of your favorite people, Kimmy, Tesla CEO Elon Musk, he supports it.
Of course, $2.6 billion in subsidies.
If we could all get that much.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment, and closing fees are limited. Active duty or retired military, reserves, and surviving spouses may qualify. Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook have spent decades finding the correct loan to suit your unique financial situation. Give Home Mortgage Alliance a call at 303-888-2732. That's 303-888-2732. Or check them out on our AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com.
Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516, or visit her online at Karen-Levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you.
Today you need to have a great online and social media presence, and the best in the biz is Desi On Demand. The AmeriChicks Molly and Kim personally work with Brandon, the founder of Desi On Demand. Desi On Demand is instrumental with our video projects, Chick Chat, Eggs, Exceptional Endeavors, and our World War II project. We most heartily endorse his creativity, innovation, dedication, and integrity. Brandon and his team bring all that to the table. Check out Desi On Demand's website at mydesi.com or call 303-359-1522 for more info, and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, this is the AmeriChicks. I'm Molly Vogt.
And I'm Kim Munson.
And it is a Powering the Economy Wednesday with our buddy Jay Davidson. He's the founder, CEO, chairman, janitor. What else?
All of the above.
All of the above of the First American State Bank. Because you know what? When you start your own business, you wear all hats, don't you?
You really do. You got to get it done. And if nobody will do it, you do it.
Yeah. And you take a lot of risk, Jay. When you open a community bank, do you have government money that helps prop you up? Or is that your own investment that you're risking?
That's a very good point. It's our own investment. There's no government money in our capital. Now, the government backdrops the deposits with FDIC insurance. And for that single reason, they're all over banks. They are so deeply embedded in banks now that it's slowing down our ability to make loans and do the regular business that we do.
Yeah. And, you know, it seems like since the Great Recession, the government has really, really, really been hard on banks. And we know that, you know, there were a few big banks that probably did some risky things that they shouldn't have done. But they didn't just come down on those guys. They came down on everybody.
And Molly, point of order. We have talked about it many times, and that is that government was encouraging them to take these risks. So it wasn't just, you know, the big bad bankers that were doing this. Government was involved in that whole program. So then those big guys got themselves in some trouble.
Yeah. Well, they had to do what they could do to leverage the risk, mm-hmm. considering what the government was telling them to do.
You're exactly right. The whole Great Recession of 2007 started 20 years prior in 1995 or in the early 90s. When the federal government, and particularly Mr. Dodd and Mr. Frank, those names you'll remember, decided to get everybody into a home, regardless of their ability to make the payments. And so they started what are called subprime lending. And the way they got that done, because no bank would do it, because they go bad. I mean, people can't afford to stay in the house. And they did it by having Fannie and Freddie underwrite that debt, buy the debt off the bank's books. And that was what kicked off the Great Recession. So you're right, Kim. The federal government did cause the Great Recession. And then the banking regulators made it much worse. They came down on us like a ton of bricks in 2007, 2008, and changed all the rules that we'd lived with for 40 years on capital and lending practices, on compensation, on dividends to shareholders.
Yeah. And, you know, the reason we really wanted to talk with you about this today, Jay Davidson, is because President Trump has said he is going to roll back a lot of regulations. And we want to see that is done, that it's done in a responsible but efficient way. Of course, we think there's probably got to be some safeguards, you know, in different industries. And so we wanted to talk to you about what safeguards should be there, what kind of tests should be in place, and then what do we need to do to prove to the government it's time to roll back these regulations. I read recently that we've got two stress tests that the Federal Reserve are putting on the banks. I believe one was last week and one was today. Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk to us a little bit about how those tests work and what the results were?
Sure. The stress tests that the Fed does predominantly are for the too big to fail banks, the 100 largest banks in the world. And the other 6,000 of us get to live by the rules that they set up for these great big guys. Now, the balance sheets of these too big to fail banks are complex. The balance sheet of a little community bank is really simple. It's loans and bonds on the asset side and deposits on the liability side. So we're really simple. The stress test is a big news today because all the banks, all the really too big to fail banks, passed the so-called stress test. There are two components to the stress test that are critical. Number one, there's a quantitative component which measures ratios and risk. It's quantifiable by number, and it's easy to identify. You tell me what the rules are, I'll live by them, and all bankers will. The second half of this is the one where all the banks used to fail, and now they haven't. And that's the qualitative test. And this is, what does a regulator feel like today? And I'm not saying that facetiously, because I've seen it change so dramatically every time they're in.
And what does a regulator know? I mean, when you've got somebody that's overseeing a particular industry, hopefully there's somebody who's had some experience in that industry, right?
Honestly, they don't. They have experience in being regulators. They do not have experience in running a bank. And there is a incredible difference between the two. Now we can live together and work together and that's fine. But the problem that I see is that all the rules changed arbitrarily, in my opinion, and people may disagree with me, but the regulators decided to change all the rules on us in 2007. And that's very difficult. We're happy to change, but give us some time to do it. They didn't give us any time to do it. And then they keep changing.
Was that mark-to-market thing? Is that
no, mark-to-market happened before that, and that was an accounting decision.
And you're talking about regulate.
I'm talking about regulations, like okay. What is your capital ratio, which is a very critical ratio
in
banking. Very simply, it's your capital divided by your assets. That's called your leverage ratio, which is a big deal today. It's probably the worst ratio that you could use to measure a bank's risk, because half of my assets are in bonds, government, full faith and credit government bonds. What risk do they carry? Not much. So as leverage ratio goes up, our ability to lend goes down. And we can go through the mathematics of it, but that's generally what happened. And that is what has happened. And that is what caused the Great Recession to continue for 8 long years. I mean, GDP hasn't gone over 1.5% in that time frame. In the Reagan, during the Reagan recovery, GDP hit 8 to 9%.
Wow.
So we're light years away from where we need to be as an economy.
You know, Jay, it seems to me that President Trump is trying to do things to take the regulations off and to get this economy going. It's astonishing to me that there's so much pushback on this.
Oh, this is so frustrating. Whatever you can say about Donald Trump, and we've all said a lot, but this guy is actually trying to do what he said he would do. How refreshing is that? Number one. Number two, just about everybody he's putting in place in the heads of all these agencies, not just financial services, but EPA and education, defense, et cetera, is anti-regulation. They realize how deadly regulations are. I'll give you an example. There's rule by law, rule of law, and our Constitution is the ultimate rule of law.
Right.
The Constitution is specifically written to prevent the federal government and only the federal government from getting too powerful. It doesn't restrict what you and I can do. In fact, it gives the freedoms to us that are not enumerated. And that is a critical difference from us and every other nation out there, even the ones that try to emulate us. So rule of law is one thing. I'm willing to live by the law. I have no problem with that. In fact, I'm very much into law-abiding citizens. The other side of the story is rule by regulation.
Administrative
bureaucratic rule, the deep state, federal banking regulators in my case, EPA officials in my energy buddies' cases, et cetera. And this is rule by a non-elected bureaucracy of the federal government. This is as close to socialism. In fact, I think we've gone over the top to a very socialistic state in that sense. We are very highly controlled by a bureaucracy that is not elected. The reason that Congress is allowed to tax us and to pass laws that govern our lives is that we can elect them. We elect them in every 2 years or every 6 years. We don't elect bureaucrats. So why are they putting laws down on us and changing the way that we have to operate?
Jay Davidson, I think that Congress in some ways abdicate their responsibility. They don't want to make the tough decisions, so they push it off to an agency, and then what you say, we get these nameless, faceless bureaucrats who can decide if we have to pay a penalty, what the rules, the regulations are, and then many times there's language in there that gives them an out that they could decide that one guy has to abide by the regulation and that they might be able to give another guy a pass. It's astounding to me. I saw that when I was on city council regarding stormwater regulations. Mm-hmm. There was something in there that the bureaucrat could say, well, you don't have to abide by that, but you do. There's something really inherently not American about that.
Truly not American, not constitutional. The principal case is called the Chevron deferral in the 80s, where Congress told the EPA that they should make the rules controlling how Chevron and other oil companies would be operated from an environmental standpoint. And Neil Gorsuch, Justice Gorsuch, has written papers on the subject and is very conversant on that and very much against the abdication, and that is the right word for what the Congress did. They abdicated their sole authority to tax and put rules down on businesses and individuals. And then it continues to this day. Dodd-Frank is an absolute abdication. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB, mm-hmm. is an absolute abdication of Congress's sole right and ability to regulate and assess taxes and fines.
Mm-hmm. And so, Jay Davidson, I saw that there's a quote here from one of the senators, Senator Sherrod Brown. She's a Democrat. She's on the Senate Banking Committee. Maybe I need a cake. I'm hungry. She says there's no evidence that relaxing the rules on banks will lead banks to lend more. Absolutely. What do you say to that?
For a Democrat, I like that. And honestly, you know what? I'll tell you this. I don't have a problem with moderate Democrats, although I've voted Republican my whole life. But I vote Republican, not for the social issues, but for the economic issues. I believe that's the only thing that politics should be involved in, is economics and getting the government out of our lives. Moderate Democrats feel the same way that we moderate Republicans do. It's the far left and the far right that want to come in and change all the ways that we work and all the things that we do. And the far left is, in my opinion, they have taken control of the Democratic Party. I think the Democrats need to wake up and see what is really happening here. People are objecting to this far left attitude of let's tax, let's spend, let's put more regulation on everybody. Because individuals know they can't infinitely go into debt like the federal government is doing. They can't spend more than they make like the federal government is doing. They know that they'll individually go bankrupt. They know and they're terrified that our federal government is going to go bankrupt. And I submit to you that unless this Congress, this bumbling Congress, gets its act together, Republicans included, and knocks out all of these silly laws and stops trying to work within the framework of these existing laws because they don't work, they need to find a way to stop spending, not only stop spending and then reduce spending. And unless they do that, our nation is headed for a very significant catastrophe that I'm not sure that we can survive if we don't start now.
You know, Jay, I've been thinking about this, and I think what you're describing is leadership. And everybody wants to be a leader today. In fact, I was going by the elementary school, and it said, the leader in me. Like, everybody wants to be a leader. There's very few leaders. And President Trump was not my first choice. But I'm seeing a man here that is leading. And they have vision, and they have courage. And I agree with you. Congress, I'm embarrassed. Mm-hmm. They have been given an opportunity, and they are bumbling along.
Yeah, they're squandering it, and the Republicans are going to have a serious wake-up call in a year and a half if they don't figure this one out. And I've known politicians most of my life, and they always want to work within the framework of the laws, and they're so happy when they can move things around and make it all look fancy.
We have just 30 seconds, so yeah.
I hear things in my head.
We do too.
We hear them too.
It's Kelly Michaels. We hear them all the time, you know. So, yeah, this is a really important point. Let's go to break, Jay Davidson. Okay. When we come back, let's talk about this.
Okay.
This is the Americhicks, Molly and Kim. We'll be right back.
Have a great night out and watch the best movies under the stars at the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. Beginning Friday, June 16th through the 22nd, the triple feature at 88 Drive-In will include Captain Underpants, Wonder Woman, and Alien Covenant. Admission is $8 per person and children under 12 are free. Stay for one or all three. Please be sure to visit the delicious snack bar to help 88 Drive-In Theater continue to bring you the best in movie entertainment. Get their special pizza deal Monday through Thursday. Receive one 12-inch pizza and two 16-ounce sodas, all for only $11. Stay up to date on movie showings and times at 88drivein.net. And be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back. We are the Americhicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. We have Jay Davidson, who is the founder, CEO, chairman, just everything over at First American State Bank right here in the Denver metro area. And Jay, when we went to break, we were talking about the word leadership. And Congress needs some leadership. They are just bumbling along. And I think there's going to be significant consequences in a couple of years. I think we're going to see people primaried unless people start to get their act together. But the American people gave them an opportunity, and you mentioned that they're squandering it.
I think your point is very well taken. Everybody wants to be a leader, like you just said, and a few people are capable of doing it because it's a very scary proposition. If you're a leader, you're in front, and you don't know what the next step is going to be. And if you don't have the right instincts, that step could be a misstep. And we all make mistakes and we all have missteps. Well, then the second thing is, can you correct from that? But having said that, the Congress needs, and really it's the people of the United States that need to tell the Congress, this doesn't work. You can't just play with Dodd-Frank or Obamacare and fix it. These things are not fixable. They are wrong, inherently wrong. And the reason I submit to you that they're wrong, and if you agree with this, then you'll see the path. I think they're wrong because they place the government in too much control over our lives and over our businesses. This nation was founded on freedom. That was the whole reason that our forefathers rebelled against the greatest nation at the time, Great Britain, and put their lives on the line and fought for 10 solid years to give us this freedom. And they gave us a constitutional republic. That is a group of individuals who agree to work together and with a government that is controlled by a constitution, by a rule of law. And the if you agree with me that the government is too intrusive, they tax too much, they spend too much, they go into debt too much, they regulate too much, they're pretty much, in my opinion, from my studies for 40, 50 years at this game, they're the reason for most of the recessions that we experience. They're the reasons for the extension of the recession longer than it needs to be. Study the Great Depression. You'll see the same events occurred at the time of the Great Depression as they occurred at the time of the Great Recession. So the point that Congress needs to get through their thick skulls is, we don't want to elect you if you're not going to stop the spending and stop the regulating.
Yeah.
And that's up to us as individuals.
Right. Well, and I think, Jay Davidson, you know, I think that there's two issues here. I think one is that we have a lack of education. So people, you know, are supposedly we're supposed to have these guys in Congress that are representative of us. And so they go to D.C. We think they understand economics. We think they understand limited government's going to be better for us, that they started the health care problem to begin with. They need to completely get rid of Obamacare and start from scratch. But I think that one thing is, some of these guys just don't know the truth. They listen to the tagline. They don't look longer down the road than, you know, 1 year, or look at the entire group of Americans and how they're going to be affected. They just look at one little group. And then the other thing is, I think the power. You know, some people go to D.C. because they want the power, and others, once they get there, they realize, as Congressman Ken Buck has just come out and shown, that once they get to D.C., if you want a position of power, if you want a leadership position, you've got to raise a heck of a lot of money. Now, once you already get there, you've already gone through your fundraising. You've gone through those coffers. Where are you going to get more money? And then you've got these little industry lobbyists in different groups that say, well, I'll give you some money as long as you start backing me. And then when they said originally to get elected, they were going to get rid of Obamacare in its entirety, now all of a sudden, a Republican is trying to keep Obamacare as it is.
I think you make a very good point, and I think Congressman Buck makes a very good point. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and that's what Congress is. That's what politics is. It's power, and that leads to money and all sorts of other things that, when used inappropriately, are wrong. The love of money is not a sin. Money is not sinful, but the love of money is a sin because it takes you away from your path toward your Buddha or your God or whomever you believe in. I think you're exactly right. And unless the politicians are forced by the public to stop this roller coaster and start to pay attention to the real issue, this nation is spiraling down badly.
Well, and Jay Davidson, we talked a bit about Congress squandering an opportunity. There has been an excellent speech, graduation ceremony that Justice Thomas had spoken at, and he had actually talked about freedom. You had talked about the 10 years that the colonists fought for liberty, and we have an opportunity here with freedom and liberty that we as the American people are squandering if we don't start to pay attention and hold our elected officials and these bureaucrats and politicians and all of them accountable.
You're exactly right. And Justice Thomas, who's probably one of the most brilliant justices this nation's ever had, is exactly right. What is freedom? It's the ability to do as you see fit, as long as you're not harming somebody else, right? I mean, if you want to color your hair purple, do it. You know, if you want to be gay, do it. You know, who cares? It's your decision. Just don't make me get in the middle of the whole thing because I may not want to color my hair purple or whatever.
Right.
So the idea of freedom is the absolute sine qua non of all that we're talking about. It's the basis of our nation. And the opposite of freedom is power. And power is the federal government. And that's why the founding fathers created the Constitution. And every one of the articles in the Constitution and in the Bill of Rights limits the power of the federal government. Now, that's being ignored. Like you said, abdication of Congress's sole responsibility to tax and fine and create regulations. They abdicated that in the Chevron deferral, in Dodd-Frank, in Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, you just name it, all the way down the line. They need to be held accountable for having done that. They need to be told that they can't get away with that anymore. And this is where the Constitutional Republic requires involvement by you and me. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking to the choir here because you ladies are extremely involved. But to anybody that's listening here, you need to get involved because you may not be interested in the government, but it sure is interested in you.
That's true. Painfully, scarily true. Well, I'm glad you said that, Jay Davidson. Let's go with that because I'd like to start giving some solutions right now to our listeners and tell them what they can do and what kind of ways they might want to reach out to the politicians that represent them this week. Because, you know, the 4th of July is next week, and we have all of our Congress are going home for a nice little vacation.
Which is unbelievable.
Yeah, it should be if you don't pass your laws, you don't eat. But, well, I guess it's too late
or get rid of some laws.
We'll have to pass do an Article 5 to get that done. But anyways, so they've put a hold on the health care vote. And, you know, I guess since they can't come to a decision on that, maybe it's a good thing because now they're going to come home. And now we get to tell them, here's what we think. Here's what we want. What do you think that our listeners should be telling their congressmen this next week?
Well, you ladies are the model of what to do. You're involved at the local level. You're involved with our Congress and our senator. You go to these meetings. You speak out. You write. You talk to your friends about these things, you get more and more people interested. When you talk the truth, when you say the truth, it has a ring to it, a ring of truth to it. And people can respond to that. And they do respond to that. I would never be demeaning to anybody if they disagree with me. That's fine. I mean, it's a good way for us to discuss a topic. But, you know, if you've thought about this, and you've got to think about this because these are complex topics, but come to your own conclusions about what needs to be done, and then you've got to articulate. You cannot, as the silent majority, you can't be silent anymore.
You know, Jay, you're making me think about something, and that is, as I grew up, it kind of moved to more relativism, where you have your truth, you have your truth, you have your truth. You know, and I think that's a place that maybe we lost our way a bit, because there is a real truth. And not every opinion is valid, and we need to be able to discuss these opinions. And I think it's a C.S. Lewis, I'm paraphrasing, but if you cannot protect your premise like three questions in, that doesn't mean that your opinion is valid. It means that you probably need to check your premises. And we have been in a society that says, you know, your truth, my truth. We need to stay and work towards truth, and that truth is freedom. And individuality and those kinds of things.
Well, I agree with that. And everything that leads us toward freedom is good. And everything that leads us away from freedom is bad. And whenever somebody says, well, this problem is too big for me to fix as an individual, you just abdicated your rights as an American citizen to stand up. You know what? If you go further and say, well, let's let the government solve this. Let's have a dog catcher, or let's have some welfare, or let's, you know, take care of this or that. You just abdicated your rights to freedom. And think about that before you let the government get involved.
Well, definitely. These are really great thoughts. We have Jay Davidson in studio with us. He is the founder, CEO of First American State Bank. He's an entrepreneur, and he cares deeply about the American people and the American idea. Great conversation. We'll be right back with Jay Davidson.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Freedom begins in your house, not the White House. We Americans enjoy the privileges of a free society, and each of us has a duty and responsibility to keep America's unique ideals of freedom on course. How? Lens of Liberty can help. Lens of Liberty's Free Freedom Kit provides a complete guide to help you be informed, stay vigilant, and fight back for liberty. Order your Free Freedom Kit from lensofliberty.org now. That's lensofliberty.org, so you are armed with the tools necessary to stand for America's ideals.
Hey, happy Wednesday, everybody. It's time to empower the economy. We are Molly and Kim, the AmeriChicks on KDMT, every Monday to Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. And thanks for tuning in. We know that it's really important for people to really get going in their jobs again and to start to get those nest eggs built and padded and growing again. It seems like there's been such anemic growth for the past 8+ years that people have been really struggling to get by, and business owners have been holding tight onto their capital and not really been investing in research or development or building out their workforce because there was so much uncertainty about what was going to happen next. You know, under President Obama, there were so many regulations, there were taxes. You just didn't know what to do. You had Obamacare. You couldn't hire over 50 people, or that. Then you had all these extra taxes under the health care law. Just one more thing after another. Now we have a new president in place, President Trump, and they're talking about passing tax reform. Haven't done it yet. Hopefully they will soon. Talking about passing health care reform. Haven't yet. Hopefully they will soon. But Jay Davidson's in studio with us, and he's the founder and CEO of the First America State Bank. He's always really a great guy to talk to about the economy. And one thing, Jay, you sent us an email recently with a Wall Street Journal article talking about if you think stocks are dull, look at the economy. Let's talk a little bit about why you think volatility has disappeared from the stock market and what we need to see happen for it to start booming again.
Sure. First off, the stock market is a derivative instrument. When you buy a stock, you're buying it at a 15 price earnings ratio. You're paying 15 times the earnings of that company to buy that stock. That means that you're hoping that the earnings from that company go up 15 times so that you can break even. It's a derivative product. It's not an indicative of the economy. There are many things that influence the stocks and the stock market. The economy, everybody has a hazy idea of what the economy is, but really it's simple. It's business. That's all the economy is. It's not government spending. Because where does government get its money? From us.
Business.
Yeah. And individuals. It taxes us. It takes it out of our hands to reinvest or hire people. And it goes, as Kim pointed out in the Jeffco thing, through a very inefficient system. Less than half the money gets back down to the states after they take half of it in the federal government.
It's an interesting point that I think we need to repeat, Jay Davidson, that the government doesn't fund the people. The people fund the government.
Exactly right. Well said. And don't tell that to the Tesla guy or Warren Buffett because...
Yeah. Well, now he is funded by the government, you know, which means we're all funding him, right. Which is really disturbing.
I want to jump in on that. Elon Musk, you know, he's held up as this great thought, you know, successful guy. The guy has been at the government trough getting, I think it's $2.6 billion in subsidies. Mm-hmm. And when asked about that, he said, I don't really need the subsidies. They're just really helping jumpstart all this green kind of stuff that I'm doing. I'm like, if you don't need the subsidies, then don't take them.
Exactly right.
You know?
Yeah.
And like Obama choosing wind energy and dumping billions of dollars into it. And every one of these businesses that got started during his time has failed miserably.
Yeah. Bankrupt. And we didn't get our money back from them.
No.
They took the risk. They lost our money and we're all out.
Right.
But see, if they weren't getting government money, they would not have probably taken that risk because they would have known that it was not a substantive business venture.
And they probably would not have been able to raise the capital to take the risk in the first place, because you ask somebody for money, they really look hard at what you're doing.
They do.
And that's the beauty of capitalism. And capitalism is extremely efficient. It's very slow, but when it turns on you, it turns hard. And if you're making mistakes, you go down in flames.
Yeah.
So it's very efficient. It's called creative destruction, and it's part of the business cycle. Certain entities are destroyed by their ineptness.
Well, you know, earlier this week we had Tim Jackson in with the Colorado Auto Dealers Association, and we talked a little bit about Henry Ford. And he started his business without government subsidies, but he said, I'm going to develop something that people will want and at a price and quality that they can afford. That's really what business is, right, Jay?
They find a need. Business finds a need. Everybody laments the fact that manufacturing jobs have gone overseas. And that is sad, because there's a lot of people out of work, and I'm you know, that's too bad. But America's strength isn't in creating barriers to some other nation coming in here and taking these jobs. That isn't what we do. Tariffs and so forth don't work. What really sets America apart is our innovation, our ability to find the niche market that nobody's thought about. Think about Uber. How long ago did that guy start that outfit? Now, it's a pretty bad example, because that guy's in a world of hurt right now. Yeah. But, you know,
but that was brilliant. Visionary.
Yeah. Visionary. Absolutely. Found a niche, just exploded. Google, Amazon, Apple, name them off. Hewlett-Packard, IBM back in their day, digital equipment. I mean, this is what makes America great. But when we're not allowed to innovate, when capital is not allowed to follow where it wants to follow, when it's forced to go certain ways because the federal government has chosen winners and losers, as you said, Kim, then we don't have a capitalistic society, and we don't have the expansion, which is what we're talking about in this memo. We don't have the expansion that we should expect. The employment rate, the true employment rate, if you add the people back in that are able-bodied and able and want to work, which have been taken out of the unemployment number, so it's a phony number when you talk about it. If you put all those people back to work, well, you can do that through private enterprise and only through private enterprise. You can't put them to work through the government efficiently, because, once again, the government only exists because they tax us. They take our money from us, our earnings away from us, and redistribute it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, Jay Davidson, what is it going to take for private businesses to start investing again?
They've got to be assured that the federal government's going to get out of our lives. And I mean that in many different ways. There's a place for federal government, infrastructure and the military, absolutely. I mean, national defense, absolutely. But when it comes to working within the United States, let us do our jobs as individuals. Most of us are not corrupt people. The vast majority of us are honest and want to live an honest life. And to think that if you want to brand all 6,000 banks by the 10 too big to fail that, you know, everybody calls greedy, and they are, then, you know, you're missing the point, because there's 6,000 bankers out there, bank owners, that aren't that greedy. They didn't do subprime loans. Let capitalism work. And in order to do that, the Congress has to realize, and the president does realize, they've got to get out of our lives. They can't continue to increase taxes on us. They can't continue to increase regulations on us. They can't continue to spend and to go into debt, because we're paying the debt. And they can't continue to hire federal employees. They've got to cut back on the cost that we're paying, you and me are paying, for federal employment.
And what's more important first, tax reform, health reform, or getting rid of these regulations?
Getting rid of the regulations, in my opinion.
Okay. Right. Jay Davidson, CEO, president, founder of First American State Bank, we love having you in for our Empowering the Economy segment. So thank you so much. We greatly appreciate it, and we'll have you back in again next month.
Thank you, ladies. Pleasure, as always.
Okay.
Thank you. Keep it up.
Thank you. And on the line, we've been talking about entrepreneurship, and one of our good friends, Karen Levine, is truly an entrepreneur. She's been in the real estate business for many, many years. She's a real pro, and so she's going to give us a quick update on what's going on out there. Hey, Karen Levine, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you and Molly doing today?
Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah. So what's going on in this hot real estate market on a hot day?
It's still hot. the activity over April, May, and June continues to be very robust. And sellers are doing very, very well in this market. But buyers are finding homes that fit their needs. They are having to be a little bit more creative and willing to pay more than maybe they anticipated up front. But real estate is being sold statewide and is quite robust along the Front Range.
Awesome. Karen Levine, I just saw an article that said there's a nationwide report showing that Seattle and Denver are tied for the lowest number of available homes for sale at 0.98 months of inventory. So that means if no new homes went up for sale, every available home would be gone in less than a month. I think that's pretty interesting.
Pretty scary. We thought inventory was low a year ago, and we are at numbers that are between 40 and 50% less today than we had last year. So it's challenging because when a house comes on the market, there are multiple buyers who have an interest in that home. And because of that, as we well know, if there's low supply and high demand, the value of that home is going to continue to go up. We are seeing in some sectors, homes are staying on the market a little bit longer, because sellers maybe are a little more, greedy or robust in their pricing. And there has been some resistance from the buying public that's like, I'm not going there. So it's a very somewhat volatile market in that regard. You need, as a consumer, to look to a professional for good advice and for good counsel and for assistance in navigating this market, because it is unlike any market that has ever been seen.
You know, Karen Levine, I really think that it's been public policy that has created this dearth of inventory in homes. I was at a meeting yesterday, and there were a couple of different cities that I learned had instituted like a 0.9% growth policy. We've got the construction defects situation here, where we only have about 2% of the housing, new houses coming on are condos. And it's not because of anything really brilliant regarding the economy. It is because of government policy that we have such robust pricing in homes right now and such limited inventory. So that's why people need a pro in this kind of a market. And that would be, we could highly endorse and recommend Karen Levine at RE/MAX Alliance.
Well, thank you. And I think that it's important for the consumer to ask good questions up front of an agent they're considering working with. Somebody that is experienced is going to have a better handle on how to counsel them and position them to do well in this marketplace and be successful. And because of the great publicity we get about our hot market, we get a lot of people coming into the marketplace to be realtors or licensed real estate agents that don't have that level of experience.
Well, and in this kind of a market, I think they should talk to a real pro, and that would be Karen Levine. So how can they reach you, Karen?
They can reach me at 303-877-7516, or they can email me at KarenLevine@remax.net.
Okay, Karen, thank you so much, and we appreciate you calling in.
Thanks, Karen.
Thanks, guys. Have a good evening.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, so we are empowering the economy. We want to make sure everybody has money in their pocket and knows what to do with it.
You got it, Molly. So we are just about out of time. Thomas Paine says, freedom has been hunted round the globe. Reason was considered as rebellion, and the slavery of fear had made men afraid to think. But such is the irresistible nature of truth that all it asks and all it wants is the liberty of appearing.
This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, signing off on KDMT. Y'all have a good night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at 5 p.m.